As 2024 continues, we're rolling on. Not only is it an important election year, also business must continue to move forward in the oil and gas industry. We talked to somebody that has firsthand experience in both of those on this episode of The Crude Truth.
In 1901, at Spindletop Hill near Beaumont, the future of Texas changed dramatically as, like a fountain of fortune, thousands of barrels of oil burst from the earth towards the sky. Soon, Detroit would be cranking out Model Ts by the millions, and America was on the move, thanks to the black gold being produced in Texas. Now, more than a century later, the vehicles are different, but nothing else has truly changed. Sure, there may be many other alternative energy sources like wind and solar and electric, but let's be honest, America depends on oil and entrepreneurs, and if the USA is truly going to be independent, it has to know the crude truth.
This episode is brought to you by LFS Chemistry, committed to being good stewards of the environment and providing the tools so you can be too. NAPE Expo, where deals happen. Air Compressor Solutions. When everything is on the line, Air Compressor Solutions is the dependable choice to keep commercial business powered up. Sandstone Group. Exec Crew. Elevate your network. Elevate your knowledge. Oil and Gas Workers Association. Pecos Country Operating. Fueling our future.
Well, thank you again for tuning in to another episode of The Crude Truth. We're down here in our Austin studio today, and I am just so excited because as we kick off in my teaser there, it is now campaign season 2024. We have huge elections, not only in November, but also coming up here in March with the primaries and picking those individuals that we really see taking us past November and into 2025 and for the next 4 or 6 years. In our industry, the oil and gas, the Railroad Commission is, you know, their gospel. What they say goes. As an operator, I know I have to follow those rules, dot my I's, cross my T's. But getting into that also, there's so many things going on from the liquid natural gas reduction that the president has just done, also to carbon capture and carbon credits. So today I brought on the lady, the myth, the legend, Railroad Commissioner Christy Craddock. Christy, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me. It's nice to be back, and I love your Austin studio. It's fabulous.
Well, thank you so much. And, technically, we can actually, in the shot, see y'all's building from here. I didn't realize that
That's now. That's right.
We won't say which one it is, just in case. But
well, you're welcome to show up anytime.
Thank you so much. And, yes, no, the moment we had the opportunity to have this office here, studio, I was like, I have to get you on it. It's been about a year now since I actually had you on. I think last time you were on, you were in Dallas Fort Worth, so we were there in our Fort Worth studios. But now it's election season now. You know, you've got that going on, but also you're fighting for us while you're rerunning. I want to dive right into the LNG, basically the reductions that President Biden did. And what are you guys doing to fight that right now?
You know, LNG has been really important to this country, and not just this country, but the world, quite frankly. We are shipping natural gas all over the world. And if you look at where Ukraine, what's going on in Ukraine and what's going on in Europe, our LNG is keeping Europe warm right now. So you've got an administration who clearly doesn't get it again. Here is the Biden administration who doesn't understand how important not just Texas, but U.S. energy is to the rest of the world. And they have decided to limit LNG and relook at what they're going to do in permitting. Look, consistency in regulation, consistency in permitting is one of the reasons why Texas is leading the country. This is a national security issue, and it has to do with our friends as well. They don't get it. And that's a real problem, I think, for the world.
You know, you mentioned there that it's a national security issue, and it really is. You know, for individuals out there, you know, let's talk about that and dive in, because this is a big deal. Before I have you answer that question, that, you know, not only did they cut the jobs, but we're now hurting people across the world, like you just said. So, you know, can we dive into the national security issue?
Sure. When you look at LNG, remember, the first, unfortunately, came out of Louisiana, but the first LNG shipment that went across the world went to Poland. Now, just go look at the geography of where Poland is today. It came out of Louisiana. We have 3 LNG terminals today in Texas. One of them is trying to get another permit, so that'd be 4, and another one's trying to expand their footprint. So we've got two in permitting process right now, and now you change the rules in the middle. So you've got dollars that have been spent, permits that people are trying to go get, and those are real jobs, not just for this state, but across the world, because Germany needs our gas. So does everybody. So does, frankly, Japan and South Korea. So it is a national security issue because it isn't just our natural gas going. People need it across the world. So now you've got Venezuela now as a player. You've allowed Iran to have their footprint back in, and look at what they've just done this week with our friends. You know, as we're sitting, we've got service members that have just died in Jordan. The Iranians are behind 90% of what's going on in the Middle East right now. These are not friendly people. So the U.S., when we don't lead, the world starts having real problems, and that's what we're seeing.
You know, what is the thinking behind, there's so much going on in Texas right now that isn't involved in oil and gas. Is that part of the reason why this administration is, because we're the Saudi Arabia of natural gas here in Texas. So why go after what a third of our economy, you know?
I think that part of it is he doesn't like Texas, and this administration definitely doesn't like oil and gas. They don't like thermal power, which is crazy. That's what's keeping us all warm and keeps the air conditioner on too, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not, we have a little bit of everything in Texas. That's not a bad thing, but the base still is coal and natural gas, and they are looking for any way to shut it down. And we are talking about jobs. Mm-hmm. We have more jobs in the state, with 400,000 jobs in this state directly and indirectly related to oil and gas. That's important. But when you look at the last Great Recession, and we're teetering on one, we'll see. But the job creation today is coming from the energy sector again. Do they not like energy? That's what I'd like to know. Do they not want to create jobs and give people real opportunity? And if they don't, which is what I think the signal is from this administration, it's time for them to leave.
Absolutely, that one. That's on my own personal. Yes, no. I think we do need a more pro-economy administration. You know, that's actually creating jobs, and So I agree. The other thing that's really big right now is carbon capture and carbon credits. And we obviously have millions of dollars from the state that we're now using for orphan wells, and we can go into that. But we also have federal dollars and this carbon capture and carbon credit. You know, what's going on there?
So let me start with carbon capture, carbon credit, because it's a little bit different than our abandoned orphan well program. First and foremost, when you look at carbon capture and carbon credit, which are two different things, by the way, and I'll go back to carbon credit. So I'm going to talk to carbon capture first. We're not new to this in Texas. We have been doing capturing carbon and putting it for enhanced oil recovery, putting it back in oil fields for 20 years. So we're not new. We've had it as an agency in our regulatory world for 20 plus years. And it's a good way, instead of using water, we're using CO2 that we put back into old oil fields and try to get more natural gas specifically, but more oil also out of those fields. And it's kind of, we call it CO2 flood. So you pump it back down to ground, and it brings more, gets more oil and gas loose. Great. It's a great use of the technology, and Texas has been doing it. We've been leading for a long time. We think that's important. To that end, the legislature last session decided that we ought to get primacy, because we also are talking about capturing CO2, whether you believe it or not. It's a job opportunity is the way we look at it.
Okay.
And so the legislature said to us as an agency, you need to go get primacy for what we call class 6 wells, EPA calls class 6 wells, that you inject carbon for permanency. Our application sitting in front of EPA. Three states have gotten primacy, so North Dakota and Wyoming were first. Louisiana just got primacy right at the end of 2023.
Yes.
We would have liked to have been in front of them, but we hope we're right behind them.
Yeah.
And our application's sitting up there, so we hope EPA takes our application, is very serious about it, and gives us an opportunity. And what primacy would do, instead of waiting 2 to 3 years for an EPA permit, and come to the Railroad Commission, get these permits, and we can do it in 6 months. Same rules and regs. You know, we've got a plan that we had to submit, but more opportunity and a faster process for companies to really go through and be able to make sure CO2 is not in the air, if that's what we're going to do.
Right.
Now, I'm going to go to the credit part, because part of the movement to it was in this IRA bill, what I call the Green New Deal bill, but the IRA bill. The IRA bill gave companies opportunity for credit to capture CO2, but not to use it in oil fields again. So they get no credit for carbon for putting it back in oil fields. Well, that's the one use we know that really works. So here you are with an administration and a Congress probably who didn't understand it, but an administration who didn't give any credit for capturing carbon and putting it back in the oil fields. They've missed a real opportunity. We'd love to see that get fixed, frankly.
How do you think we could, like, what do we, like, do we just need to, you know, like, call our local congressman and try to
go back to the congressman and saying, look, we get you when you capture CO2. If that's your intent, fine. But the only thing we really are doing a lot of it and doing something with the CO2, instead of just putting it underground for all eternity, which I think we could all argue doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Let's use it for something good, and let's use it for CO2 enhanced oil recovery in the oil fields, and give us credit, give us the tax credit like you're doing for other things for it.
You know, Christy, with that being, with what you just said about how Congress didn't understand we have an administration, that's a perfect segue for me to lead into what's next, is that we don't have people making decisions for the oil and gas industry that know the oil and gas industry. And that scares me on, you know, so many levels. You know, that'd be like having somebody be a judge that was not a lawyer or somebody that understood that. And it's hurting not only the jobs, but it hurts our economy. And that actually now brings me back to what I remember now with the LNG, is this administration got real quiet with oil and gas shutting it down once the inflation went. And they got real quiet because oil and gas is what helped bring down that inflation that we had. And now all of a sudden, I do find it interesting that he basically has now got a full-blown war on Texas and our liquid natural gas. But getting back to people, okay, you're running for, you know, re-election here for a third term.
Right.
Which you may, you know, people that I've talked to, you know, I've told your people the same thing. It's like you've made so many positive things already. Why, in my opinion, is because you're from West Texas, you know oil and gas. Why not have somebody like you that knows these things? And so, you know, let's talk about your re-election. And, you know, and right now it is the primaries. We got a few other candidates, but, you know, why are you rerunning?
Look, I think, one, the most important agency is the Railroad Commission. Regulates oil and gas. And it's 30% of our state's economy is oil and gas. So you need somebody who knows what oil and gas is, first and foremost, not just that you're filling up at the pump, but understands how it's produced, what it does for our economy, the jobs it creates, and understands the rules and regulations, and is trying to look at not just having consistent and good rules and regulations, but allowing that new technology that is being done in Texas every single day to allow it to continue to move forward. And frankly, we've become a lot more transparent as an agency. You've heard me talk about the fact that we're in the middle of an IT upgrade. We've got probably 3 more years to get off a mainframe Fortran. But we've come a long way at this agency, and I think it's important to have consistency. And frankly, long term, we're going to have to fight back, whether it's the Biden administration or any other administration or Congress who doesn't understand oil and gas, who needs somebody who's been a proven leader to be there and have a strong voice at our agency.
Well, Chris, that's the way to do it. With you saying that, let's talk about an issue that's going on right now also that's kind of making a stink in some circles. Crane County out there, which is just for people that don't know, it's a little bit west, southwest of Midland. You know, there's an issue out there right now. I think there were a few wells that may have been leaking that were orphan wells. Is that correct? What's going on out there? And, you know, what is the Railroad Commission doing to make it right?
So, look, orphan abandoned wells are important to us as an agency. And about 20, now coming up on 25 years ago, this industry went to the legislature and said, well, you ought to make us pay a bond. And with those dollars, we're going to start plugging orphaned abandoned wells. The Railroad Commission is going to be the lead in that. We think that's been an important piece of what the Railroad Commission does. It's not our only job, but it's an important piece, and people hear about that. Part of our job is to make sure the environment gets cleaned up, and we want to make sure we do that. We've plugged over 19,000 abandoned wells in that 25 years. Remember, industry plugs most of them.
Yes.
So we're plugging roughly now about 1,000 a year.
Yes.
Part of what we do is inspect those wells, and they become orphan abandoned after someone has, say, gone bankrupt and walked away.
Yep.
They come onto our books after, and we get the bonds for it, so we're allowed to use an insurance policy to help plug those wells as well. And the industry, from fees we are taking in, is paying the other part. So we are out there getting bids like everybody else is with service companies to plug wells. And we go out and inspect them and prioritize them. So if you're priority one, that means we think there's a leak or there's a real problem. If you're priority four, you may be there may be a 50-year-old well out there. And we know it's there, but if it's not, if we're not concerned about the environment or if it's not affecting somebody's property, then we'll get to you. You're on our list. Yeah. And today we've got roughly 8,500. That number's a little bit stagnant. We plug 1,000, the same, another 1,000 come back on. But it's been a priority for this agency to keep that number within manageable numbers. Part of what you're asking about is Crane County. Yeah. So we have a state plugging program. There's also a federal one I want to go back to.
Yes.
But I want to talk about what's going on in Crane. So there's a lot of old stuff out in Crane. This is what the new Delaware Basin for us. But a lot of this basin wasn't active or not very active like it is today for many years. And there's a lot of old stuff. And I mean, stuff in the 50s and 60s before you and I were ever wells.
Yes.
There's a lot of wells out there that have been, some have been plugged, some haven't been. Some we are now finding weren't ever registered with us. Maybe they weren't supposed to be either because there was lithium and other things that people were seeing as opportunities.
Yes.
That they didn't have to come to us as an agency or the TCEQ, our predecessor, to get a permit. They were just poking the hole in the ground. So we as an agency want to make sure if we see something, we want people to call us, tell us there's an issue. And that's part of what's going on out in Crane. We've had a well, a leak in the past month or so.
Yeah.
As an agency, we're out there, we're on the ground. We've hired contractors to go out and plug that well, and we're in process of remediating it appropriately. Some days it doesn't matter who owned it or who drilled it. We just want to make sure it gets cleaned up.
Right.
So that is where we are, and then there's water to be hauled off. So you'll see us continue to remediate that landowner, that surface owner's property appropriately as well.
Yeah, the landowner may be different than the mineral owner.
That's right.
And, you know, Crane County, what people don't know, poor Crane County is like Swiss cheese underneath there. Because if I'm correct, and please correct me if I'm wrong, because you're from there, or not from there, but from West Texas, they've mined for copper, they've mined for uranium, for lithium. I mean, Crane County has just been depleted of its natural resource. So it's all not just oil and gas.
There's some good salts out there, too. So salt always makes the geology different. And we're really just having the issue, frankly, in the one county, in the one area.
Yeah.
And so we're continuing to do inspections and continuing to gather data and information to make sure we're resolving the issue appropriately.
The other thing that y'all did that I thought was real interesting was you guys, the Railroad Commission, y'all were able to get a no-fly zone over this area. First of all, I'm surprised y'all could even get a no-fly zone. But then again, I'm not. But what was that about?
So, you know, look, there was a drone flying over the property. We didn't know whose it was. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the landowner that we were aware of.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's a concern. We've got safety issues on the ground with operators. You've got big pieces of equipment. But frankly, look what's going on. We're now using drones around the world to drop bombs. There is some real issues about safety.
Yes.
Whether you know if you don't know. So, and it's not the first time we've gone and asked for a no-fly zone with the FAA. We filed an application. They agreed with us that there were some issues and have agreed to extend it for as long as people are out there remediating. It's a safety issue for the people out there. And so but they have to enforce it. You know, they could have said no.
True.
And I'm sure they have, but on others, but they didn't on this one, and they took it very seriously, and we appreciate that the people that are sitting on that side and doing the work are really, we want their safety first. We have the drone got within 20, 30 feet of them.
That's dangerous.
That is dangerous. Yeah. And not only that, look, our job is to be transparent. And so the information we're getting and that we have on that well is going to be made public. It's not that we need somebody else out there checking. The landowner is more than welcome to go out, and we're informing them, or we should be informing them as well about where we are in the process. So that's a transparency issue is not the issue. It is safety for our people.
Safety. Are there any rules about having drones out there like on a normal day?
Not to my knowledge. Whatever FAA rules are.
The only reason I ask is I'm thinking about like that 20 or 30 feet. And my friend, when we were drilling here a couple months back, you know, it was real cool. You know, you got to see this. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I mean, it almost takes up half his back of his truck.
Right.
So 20 or 30 feet away, it falls on somebody, that's going to hurt.
It is. Well, look, we're using drones at the agency for inspections, particularly pipelines. We have so much pipe in the state. A lot of it's in rural areas. You can't walk that pipe all the time. And so I think you're seeing other agencies and other people use drones appropriately where they should be used, but not just to be invasive and not you've notified or you know what you're out there doing.
I like that you're using them for the pipelines. You know, a lot of the pumpers that are my dad's age would tell me when I was younger, like when you go find flow line or something like that, like, well, just grab a sandwich and start walking. You know?
A lot of that too. That's part of, you know, when you've got 480,000 miles of pipe in this state, it's a lot of pipe. We want to make sure it gets inspected appropriately. But you start walking and you want those lines, then that area to be clear so you can see if there's an issue.
You know, I want to circle back to the state funding and federal funding for wharf and wells real quick. You mentioned how, you know, us as operators, we pay a bond to operate. And then that money's there, obviously, that if we go, like, the idea is you don't get that money back if you disappear.
That's right.
Okay. But also, I think a dollar from every load of oil that we produce, I think, goes donated towards also the orphan well fund. Is that correct?
No, that's not really true anymore.
No, that's not true anymore.
Not anymore. So we don't, as an agency, get any dollars from the rainy day fund or any of the funds that y'all pay into. We do have to go to the legislature and they appropriate dollars. So we get dollars, one, if you've got a bond, but two, we use dollars from the agency and that are appropriated from us. So most of these orphan abandoned wells are 30, 40 years old, right? Before we had bonds. So when I go to the legislature and they say, you're still plugging the same wells. No, they're different wells. We're adding two. Because, you know, if you have dips in industry, obviously that's when you see bankruptcies and we acquire more wells. That's just historic. You can look at it.
Yeah.
But again, we've prioritized the last several years, and the legislature has asked for us to do so. We're glad to do that, to plug at least 1,000 to 1,200 wells a year. We've done that for 6 years. And there are dollars appropriated for us. Again, some of it bonds, some of it dollars that industry is paying for fees for us. And so we've had about $35 million a year to plug wells. Then the federal dollars, the IRA, there's a plus for this bill. The Green New Deal's bad, but this, we decided we would access dollars. It's your tax dollars anyway. We might as well use it for Texas. That's the way I look at the world. So coming up 2 years ago is that federal bill was going on. They came to all states who were operators and said, how many wells do you have and what would it cost you? And at that point, we had about 8,500 wells, about 8,000. And remember, we not only have wells onshore, but we have wells that GLO permitted offshore in the bay. So we've got about 75 of those. Those can get real expensive. They could be $1 million a well or more. And that's kind of we say about $1 million a well because you've got to go rebuild a platform and do things that cheaper. It's cheaper on land than it is in the water.
Absolutely, yeah.
Generally. So we went back to the federal government and said, we think we need $330 million to plug everything we have today. Went okay. So that's been almost 2 years ago, coming up in April. A year ago, finally, they started doling out money. So not this last September, but the September before, we were eligible for $25 million unrestricted that we went and got. With that, we've plugged 730 additional wells.
Oh, wow.
With federal dollars. And actually, our website, part of what the requirements, and we didn't know it, we just built our website to do this. If it's federal dollar well plugging, you can go track what we're doing. We have it on our website that you can go look at the Railroad Commission website of what we're doing with those federal dollars. Then we got to this time last year, so February of last year, and there's still a lot of money out there. And Department of Interior was now writing rules about what you had to do to acquire your next tranche.
Yes.
We laugh because when California and Texas don't like rules that are being written federally, you know there's some challenges. So we made a bunch of comments, as did a lot of oil associations and oil states. And so in August of this past year, about 6 months ago now, the Department of Interior said, these are the rules. These are the guidelines. And we kind of looked at it and went, okay. So we're waiting on $79 million to come this year. We hope we'll get it in the first quarter of this year. Okay. And we'll start plugging again more wells with federal dollars. That being said, our state plugging program, and that's part of the requirement, you have to have a state plugging program. We're the most active and most, and actually the oldest state well plugging program in the country. So that we'll have both programs going. That $25 million had to be spent in 1 year. The 79, we have a few years, and then we'll go back and ask for the next tranche of money. So this is an ongoing program.
You know, let me ask you this. Are the way y'all are dispersing the federal funds a lot like...
Very similar.
Way you disperse
the yes. State. Okay. So we've got managed contracts. We've got people that are eligible to apply to plug our wells. A lot of them, again, industries using the same folks.
Yep.
And so we're competing with people and personnel is a real challenge in the service industry today. So making sure we've got enough people out there. But yes, we're plugging wells and we're trying to do it where they're more regionalized. Unless you've got one well that really is a problem, we kind of are doing a in areas instead of one, three over here and four over here. We're trying to manage that they're right. More together. It's more cost effective for everybody.
Absolutely. The travel alone.
That's right.
Random question. When it comes to those dollars, are y'all looking at companies that are, what is it, you know, the minorities and the women owned?
Like, that's part of the challenge. We do look for hub companies. That's always important for this agency at all levels, not just well plugging, but we're always looking for hub companies. That's one of the priorities and the legislature's asked to prioritize, but we're happy to do that. We would love to get people of all, anybody who wants to come plug a well and work with us, but there's not historically not been as a lot of hub companies interested in this sector. So we're glad to see more get involved and see opportunities to employ more people.
Golly, you guys are just up to so much right now. It's not even funny. And, on a random note, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, other oil and gas companies on those orphan wells, they can actually, if they see a field and they're like, hey, that's a good field, they could actually go to the Railroad Commission and purchase those orphan wells.
Okay, they can come acquire them.
Well, yes.
And we've got a process for people to do that. Some companies have done that, and we're seeing some shallow wells that a bigger company's coming in because it could be affecting what they want to do with their horizontal wells, and so they'll come in and acquire some old wells and plug them. Yeah. And they, you know, they don't get any credit, so to speak. But
no.
But it's a better program to make sure we're not having any issues in those fields where they want to continue to drill.
You know, I never really kind of thought about it, but it makes total sense that you said, hey, a lot of these wells that are orphan wells are 50 and 60 years old,
right.
And the rules weren't the same. I mean, I've heard stories, you know, about being a prime minister up in North Texas where somebody might drill, and if they didn't do it, they just kind of pick up and go, you know, this is the 1930s.
We're seeing this in West Texas as well.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that was part of the issue, and now you can't do that anymore.
No.
Couldn't do that for the last 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
But older stuff, that's something. So we know where things are, we hope.
Yeah.
We've updated our map. In fact, when I first got to the agency, we were taking 4 different hard copy maps and merging them into an electronic map. So we know there's some areas, and I still get phone calls periodically in certain areas from areas that you've got that well marked wrong. Okay, tell us. We want to make sure.
Yeah.
But we think we know where most of them are, but there's always something that pops up that but the landowner usually knows. And that's why we encourage people to send us an email or pick up the phone and call us, or we'll have somebody come out and inspect if we've got an issue.
Well, Christy, for those out there that are looking for you to continue to lead, how can people find you and donate to your campaign this year?
So thanks for asking, and thanks. So we've got a primary coming up.
Yes, ma'am.
It's early voting starts February 20th, and primaries on March the 5th. We'd love to get everybody back engaged with us, and we've got great support across the state. You can go to ChristyCraddock.com, and we've got a website where you can donate, but also we're moving around the state. We'd love to make sure people are meeting us and getting to know us, and then getting out and voting is really important this cycle. We expect a lot of people to vote. And when you look at the ballot, you've got presidential, U.S. Senate, your congressman, and me. So I'm fourth on the ballot. I'm not hard to find, but I'm the only real statewide on the ballot this cycle. And it's been 6 years since people have had to vote on me. We've got a lot of new people.
Yes.
And reminding people what the Railroad Commission does is part of our goal and how important this agency is. And we need qualified people sitting here.
Yes, ma'am. That I agree with. I think sometimes if you looked at resumes, yours is definitely one. It actually is an exception because your resume fits your role within the government.
Thank you.
And like we talked about earlier. So, Christy, I cannot thank you again for your time today. And again, if anybody out there, would like to donate, Christy at ChristyCraddock.com. And we'll see you again here on another episode of The Crude Truth.
Again, thank you to our sponsors, LFS Chemistry, NAEP Expo, Air Compressor Solutions, Exec Crew, Oil and Gas Workers Association, Pecos Country Operating.
The easiest way to start your own podcast and TV show? Real News Communications Network. Stand out from your competition. Produce streams of high-quality social media content. Become a thought leader in your industry. With RNCN, you get to be the host. We handle everything else. Tour one of our three locations in Dallas, Fort Worth, and The Colony. Call 972-402-6333 or visit launchashow.com to find out more.